So nice to be together this morning. And I was thinking last night, what am I going to teach on? And then I thought, well, it's Mother's Day. So let's look at some of the moms in the scriptures, okay? Obviously, one of the main and most important moms is Mary. So let's go to Luke chapter 2. Well, we'll start off in chapter 1 here for a second. Now we can teach these records and look at them from different points of view, but really, how do you express what a great mom is? I mean, there's so many aspects. Their protection of their children, their care. They never cease to think about them. You know, they don't think of themselves as an individual. They think of their service, really, to tell you the truth, to their family. And I'm thinking about Mary here, a young lady, and the birth. It says in verse 26 of chapter 1, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." God picked a woman to have his son. Now think about this. She's a young lady. If you were God, what kind of woman would you pick? A faithful one, a believing one, somebody who's solid rock. I mean, just think about it. I mean, this is the point of view of what kind of lady is Mary. And what kind of woman is going to be the mother of God Almighty's child? "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." That is quite a young man that she's going to have. Now, can you think of a young woman that would say, "Well, you know, God sent me an angel. He sent me an angel. I'm going to have the king, the Messiah." And she'd run all around the neighborhood and tell everybody. This is enormous. And if you think about Mary, you put yourself in her shoes. Everyone in her culture is going to think that she's evil. And yet she's willing to do it for God. She's willing to do it for her child. She's not boastful. Just the opposite. This is sacrificial. The quality of the woman that becomes the mother of God's son. "Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, by the way, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And she just comes out and says that I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. And then Mary gets up and goes to her cousins. She gets there, and Elizabeth prophesies over her. As soon as she walks in, the baby, John the Baptist, he jumps in her womb when she shows up and hears a voice. And then Elizabeth prophesies concerning her. And it says in verse 45, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her of the Lord. Now, I've read this record to you probably many times during the holiday season when we celebrate the birth of Christ. But you think of the kind of woman this is. She's going to prophesy from this point on. Her heart is filled with God. It's filled with his love. It's filled with his promises, his word. You know, what comes out of your mouth is what you're excited about. And, you know, even when you bring forth the word of prophecy, if your head is dull and you haven't got your head in the word, then your prophecy is fairly uninspiring. You know, wherever your head's at, that's what you produce. That's what where your faith is at the moment. Sometimes, and all of us that do this, I mean, you know it. From moment to moment, it's better, more inspired, less inspired. This woman is on fire. She's on fire for God. She is on fire because she's going to be able to have a child, even though it's going to cost her greatly. And Mary says this, and I apologize for my voice, but it's the way it goes when you got a cold in it. So Mary starts and says, verse 46, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from hence all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done great things. By the way, these are all quotes in the Old Testament. He that is mighty hath done great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And he hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath put hope in his servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months. She stayed there. All of this was in her soul when she got to Elizabeth's house. Remember, the angel says it, be it unto me. Elizabeth confirms it. And she gives forth this wonderful prophesy type of blessing about what's coming and what God has done, and rejoices in him. You know, that's quite a woman. Let's continue on with her in chapter 2, verse 16. Now she has the baby. She's in a The conditions are not exactly the best. There was no room for them in the inn. She's in with the animals downstairs in the basement. You know, a Palestinian home, even today, they do the same kind of thing. First of all, there's no such thing as a wood house, all right, because there's not much wood in the Middle East. They're mud, you know, made of, like they would out west. They're made of brick and mud and got flat roofs for the most part. People live upstairs on the second floor, third floor. And down below in the bottom, on the ground floor, would be where the stables are. The animals live in the same house as the people. And, you know, that way you can keep your small group right there in front of you. So they have shelter, almost like what we call the garage at the bottom of the house, except this is laid out for the animals. And there was no room for them upstairs. So they went to the family's house and they took out the stable, a part of the area where the animals would be. And that's where the Messiah was born. God sends his angels, the heavenly host, to the shepherds. He announces the birth of his son. He says, you're going to find him with swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And these guys, after they hear that, and the angels glorify God, they go, let's go see what this is about. And they show up at the exact moment where Jesus is swaddled. Now, an infant is swaddled, and it doesn't take much time. It's a custom more than it is anything else. You wrap him in strips of cloth. You wash him with salt water. You wrap him with strips of cloth. You bind him. And then you pretty much unbind him shortly after that. The shepherds show up at exactly that particular time, in that short period of time where this baby's going to be swaddled. And they praise and glorify God for what's going on. And in chapter 2 here, starting in verse 16, it says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. These shepherds went out and told everybody in the neighborhood of what had happened and what they had seen. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But you know what Mary did? She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Maybe she didn't understand everything. She knew what had happened to her, but she kept everything that was said about her child, that the angels had said, that the shepherds had witnessed, and she kept it in her heart. And I thought to myself, that's exactly what kind of like a mom does. All the promises and all the love and all of the dreams and all of the good things that they want to see for their child. And they keep them. And they watch the kid grow up. And Jesus is going to get bad here in a little bit. He's going to get in trouble. But but that woman, she's just adding the pile. Then she goes off and brings the baby to the temple, and they meet Simon and Anna. And that's over here in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And the same man was just and devout and waited for the consolation of Israel and the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Spirit of God was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. God told him, you're not going to die until you see my kid, the Christ. And he came by the Spirit. God told him to go. I want you to go to the temple now, okay? And he came by the Spirit. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I mean, they're astounded. Here's this guy, very faithful man, picks up their kid, makes these statements, and then Simon, verse 34, blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rise again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And Anna spoke similar things. He tells her, this is going to cost you. A sword is going to go right through your heart. And I bet you that happened that day when he was hanging on the cross. And she was in so much agony because of her son. Quite a woman. Then, like I said, Jesus gives him a little bit of a hard time because he's growing up. He's 12. Chapter 2, verse 25. And I thought how much of a hard time I gave my mother my whole life. You know, and I thought of my Mary as I watched her raise the kids, and I watched them how hard a time she gave them, and yet through all of it, never lost faith in who that they would become. No matter what went on, she never lost faith in the kind of people that they would become, and the kind of joy that she partook in as the years went by, at the word that she placed in their hearts. So being a mom is really a very special kind of thing. I think you get to demonstrate that kind of faith. You know, if you're not a mom, like I'm not, you know, you don't get to do the exact same things that they are, that God puts in their hearts to do for their own child. But Mary's going to have to pay a terrific price for this, because her son's going to grow and he's going to change the world. He is going to literally change the world in a very brief statement. And change is something that people don't like, to tell you the truth. In chapter 2, verse 24, they go up to Jerusalem, and they go up there year to year, Joseph and Mary. They bring the kid with them, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the kid. He's still 12, right? Yeah, 40. What did I say? 42. All right, 41. Now the parents went to Jerusalem every year, and the feast of the Passover, at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, they returned. And the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Now, you think about it. We're going to go to Manhattan. All right, this is like you go to Manhattan and you got your kid in tow. He's 12. Sort of almost there, but not quite there. You're still treating him like he's a little kid when he's really becoming more and more in his heart his own. You know, it's that really transitional time when you're dealing with your children. I remember it very, very plainly. And the Lord is the Messiah. He is on a mission, but he's still under the care of mom and dad. And they head out of town, and they think they must have had an entourage with them because they didn't notice he was gone for a while. You know, the uncles and the aunts and everybody else must have went up. They went together as a family. And his parents went every year to do this. Verse 44. But they supposed him to have been in the company, had been with the rest of the folks that they had gone up with. And they went a day's journey, and they sought him among his king folks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again. So they've lost him for at least 24 hours. Going out. And now they've got a day's journey out. They got a day's journey back. That's 2 days. Plus, they got to find them. How heartsick is mom? How frantic, I remember Mike did this to me once. How frantic is dad? It's... You put yourself in mom and dad's shoes. We're thinking about mom right now. And the stuff that goes on, it's just the normal things of life, ain't it? Just the way it kind of goes. So in verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple. So this is like 5 days have gone by. If I count the day going out, the day coming back, and then 3 days they sought him, and they found him in the temple. Sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, and I could just hear her now, right? I can just hear this now, Mary and Carmen and Barbara. I can hear you all now. I mean, Janice, this ain't going to be what happened. She's not going to be saying it like that. What happened? Where did you go? She's a real mom, right? And when they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Why have you done this to us? Why have you done this to me? I can just see her now, right? And thy father, and I have sought thee sorrowing. You're breaking my heart. You're killing me, kid. Now, isn't that real? Why have you done this to us? Don't you know better? And Jesus comes right back and he says, and I bet you he did it lovingly and respectfully, but he did it strongly too. Because it's time, Mom. It's time for you to understand. And he said unto her, How is it that you sought me? Wist not or know you not that I must be about my Father's business? You know, it's coming time. He's going to move on. He's got a mission to accomplish. And his father has him doing stuff. And it says here, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. You know, they're not privy to everything that's going on. But they've raised this young man. They've poured their guts, their life, their soul. She's poured everything into him. You know, they got a big family, they had an entourage. So you can get lost in the family for a day or so until they start, where is this guy? Where is he? You know, hey, Lucy, is he over at your house? You know, Uncle Joe, where is he over by you? And they're frantic. We're talking about frantic. That's how I would be. That's how Mary would be. That's how you would all be. You lose your kid for close to a week. But he needed to be about his father's business. That's got to be hard for a mom. That's got to be real hard when times come like this. Then remember later on when he does his first miracle, it's mom. Hey, Jesus, they need the wine. They need some wine. Mom, leave me alone. You ever say that? Mom, leave me alone. It's not my time yet. It's mom and children's stuff. And it never ends. It never ends. It doesn't change as time goes by. The love is always there. The desire that they do well is always there. Doesn't mean that they understand everything that person, that child is going through. Or what God's working in their soul. None of us can know that. You know, as much as I tell you about myself, there's no way for you to know everything. There's no way for me to know everything about you. That's just one great lady, isn't it? Just one sweetheart of a woman. You know, another mom talked to her son, and I was reading this. Go to Proverbs 31. I was reading this in light of, the beautiful description of a virtuous woman. But it ends being a great mom, this whole thing. This is a mother talking to her son, Solomon, about, hey, the kind of woman you want to have, kind of life. This is the instruction she's giving him. But it also gives us a wonderful description of a woman to become a wife and a mother to bless her children. And you know mom's going to be hard on the girl, right? Because she wants her boy to have the best woman possible. Duh. Of course. But look at the instruction. Look at the qualities. Look at the abilities. Now, this is like the perfect list. There's no such thing as, you know, everybody's got everything. I'm sure that there are those who try. And but it's really, at the end of this, it says, her children, in verse 28, her children will arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. And that's really all that you can give back to a great lady. You give them the praise, the thanksgiving that they deserve, because you really can't ever pay them back. You know what I mean? How do you pay back the years of waiting up all night when you're not feeling well and taking care of you and listening in to make sure everything's okay? How do you pay back the IOUs of all the meals that were made and all the love and the care. And what's your favorite thing? You know, even today when the kids come, oh, Chrissy would like this very much, or Michael would like this very much. You didn't ask me what I wanted. And it's just the way it's supposed to be. You know, it's just the way it's supposed to be. It's something that's holy. It's something that's precious. It's something that's given out of complete love and sacrifice. That kind of love and care. I mean, we should all demonstrate, but moms really have a great way and a great blessing. I think God hardwired them that way. You know? But her children will rise up and call her blessed. And she's got plenty of abilities. And this mom, she's kicking her son because he doesn't listen, by the way. Old Solomon doesn't listen to this instruction. He does everything the wrong way. And he ends up basically in the trash, spiritually. He's got thousands of women around. You know, he's as rich as can be, thousands of women. And they turn his heart from the Lord. So, it says, who can find a virtuous woman in verse 10? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's a hard worker. She's like a merchant ship. She brings forth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maids. She considereth a field. She buys it. She's into real estate too. With the fruit of her hands, she hath planted the vineyard. She girdeth her, this reminds me of my daughter here. You know, she's got the garden in the back. She's got the, you know, the housework. She's working on all kinds of different things. She's sewing up a storm. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good and her candle goes not out by night. She lays her hand to the spindle, and her hand holds the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. She's merciful. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's provided them, made for them, done for them, fed them. She's merciful to others. She's a hard-working woman. She's kind, treats her husband well. Verse 22, she makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothes are silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. And when he sits among the elders of the land, she makes fine linen and selleth it and deviseth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She opens up her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou exceedest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate, in the community. So I just thought, okay, it's a beautiful way to think about our moms. And the mother of my kids, certainly. You know, I'm just really thankful. And you think about these spiritual truths. You can't be one without the other. You know, it's hard to be a good mother and not be a good wife. It's hard to be a good wife and not be a good mother. It's hard to, it's like what we read out of the book of James. You can't have salt water and fresh water coming out of the same location. The quality of an individual can be seen. You know, can we tweak it? You know, get a little bit better at this one and not that one? You better believe it. But I just thought that that would bless you this morning. I hope it did. So, gracious Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your watchful care and your blessings over all of your people, Father. And I especially ask you to bless the moms today. I thank you for blessing my Mary and for all that she has done for our children. Thank you, Father, for all the moms here. And I thank you for enriching their hearts and their lives. And for multiplying your blessings back to all of them. Thank you for the men in their life and the men that they've had in their life. And thank you for their children and for your watchful care over each and every one. Thank you for your love, Father, and being multiplied towards all of your people. I praise you, I love you, and I'm so grateful for these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.